Well, we're going to continue our Freedom Friday series this morning, visiting with Bill Backus, who's in with us this morning. Bill lives down in the lower part of the county
exactly.
Here, down in the southwest part of the county. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. Morning, Jim. How you doing?
Good. Are you in Griswold or outside of
Griswold? Just outside in the country, yeah. Okay. Outside in the country in Griswold, yeah.
That's what I thought. All right. Well, you spent time Army National Guard, a long time, actually.
Yep, 23 years in the Army Guard, and enlisted right out of high school up in, originally from up in the Arcadia Westside Vale, Harweva School District area. So Westside's the hometown, and so I enlisted into the Carroll Army National Guard unit up there. So been bounced around a lot of different places. So, you know, as we go through all that, we can kind of get into greater detail there. So
talk about your thoughts about enlisting in the first mm-hmm. place. You didn't have to do that. Why'd you decide to?
No, didn't have to do that. Definitely as I chose to, go to college and chose to go to Iowa State University there right out of high school, and you know, had opportunity to do several different things in either the Naval Academy or Air Force Academy. Looked at those as well and decided that I wanted to be a Cyclone, so go Cyclones. And and as we, get ready for another great football season here, that'll be fun to keep watching them go. But, you know, as you go to Ames, great school, it's like, well, this is what I want to do. And actually, most of my family went there too, so that's kind of part of that. And how do you pay for that? So as you stop and think through, how do you take care of paying the bills? Army Guard came along, and it was being from a family farm, it was an opportunity to help pay for things. You know, coming out of the 80s, it was, you know, time to figure out different ways to pay for school, and Army Guard had the GI Bill, and that was one opportunity to look at and get a paycheck every month and get a little bit of GI Bill to help pay for school. So actually pretty good deal at the end of the day.
Was your family supportive of the decision?
Yes and no. So, you know, Mom, of course, was very apprehensive as you think that through. And
mothers usually are.
Mothers usually are. So as you look at that, it kind of grew on them eventually, jump ahead. When I retired here at the end of December, she was probably one of the happiest persons on the planet, you know, at that point in time. So, but yeah, she's definitely very supportive all the way through. And my wife and family as well, very supportive. And but enlisting right at high school, definitely a challenge, you know, to sort it through and think it through. Is that really something you want to do? And, you know, after going through all the different trainings that I went through and figuring out where it kind of took you in life, most definitely, you know, after the fact, you enter concerned, but you exit going, wow, I'm glad I did that. And, you know, one of those things that you almost wish you would have talked more buddies into joining with you and doing this along
sure,
with you. So,
sure. Is there a family history of military service?
Really not my direct family. All my uncles were. So one uncle was in the Navy. Another one was in the Air Force. You go way back in my family, all the way back to the German heritage, actually. Was in the armies over in Germany, but, you know, not Nazis, but way before that. So, if, you know, get into all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Prussian army way back in
sure.
the late, middle 1800s. So you dig into that. But that's as far back as
sure.
I've been able to find. So.
Sure. Now, when you get involved in something like this, when most folks, when they join the Guard, they're not really thinking too much about overseas active service, but it happens.
It happens. Yeah, it definitely happens. So as you go through your career and you kind of figure out that, this is the military, and, then the different conflicts start showing up. So as you get to that point in your career, all of a sudden you get that phone call. It's like, hey, we need you to go somewhere. So, yeah, I ended up going to Iraq for basically 2 years, lived in Elliott at the time. Actually, we moved out of Griswold, when I got back from the service, or overseas service, but we lived in Elliott there at that time. And got the call to go join the unit out of Waterloo, actually, so the 1st of the 133rd Infantry. Went with them over out of the 1st Brigade, 34th Infantry Division, which is based out of Minnesota. So I actually had to go with them over to Iraq for basically 18 months, which if you remember the troop surge back under President Bush, when we got the surge over there, we got caught up in that. So we got extended. So we ended up being there just 2 years is what we ended up being, you know, out of country here. So definitely a long time to be away from the family. And as I got three girls that definitely, and beautiful wife, they all kind of, you know, very supportive, but, you know, they end up missing, you know, you, and I miss out a lot of their stuff as well. So,
you know, and that's something I guess we don't really talk too much about is, you know, when you first joined, it was just you.
Yeah.
It was your decision. But you spent 23 years in the service. So over time, it's not just you anymore. Now it's a wife. And then all of a sudden, it's children and things. All of a sudden, you know, your thought process kind of changes a little bit, but you decided to stick with it. Obviously, they were supportive of what you were doing.
Yeah. So as you look at, you know, we got married and had my oldest, Jessica, and we actually moved because, well, I enlisted and then I became an officer is what I did. So I went to officer school and, again, to help pay the bills initially, but then it turned into be a pretty good decision for me all the way through. And then you had to go to some more training, so we ended up moving to Georgia. So I lived in Georgia for with Jenny, my wife, and Jessica, my oldest. Let's see, we lived there for about 6, 7, 8 months, lived in Georgia going through training down there at Fort Benning, Georgia. So, you know, that became a very critical time and all of a sudden a quick decision that, wow, this is a family decision, you know, because we're picking up the move in the family and going down there and going through training. And, you know, all of a sudden she becomes an Army wife, full-time Army wife, figuring out what the heck am I doing here, you know, and that, but you also figure out that you get more, better perspective on life as well. Because, you know, being a white guy from Iowa, you end up realizing that you're probably a minority in different areas of the world. And it's very, very eye-opening to understand how different cultures and different ethnicities are out there and how they work and how they act. And you become more worldly by far.
Well, all of a sudden you see everything that there is out there and you experience so much more. But, you know, being in the line of fire out there, too, overseas like that, again, when you signed up, it was college money.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, it's, you know, life and death circumstances and situations.
Yeah,
how do you deal with that?
Because I'm well out of college and well into my career, and it all of a sudden, you got to decide to say, hey, oh, by the way, employer, I'm leaving, and I'm gone. And, you know, as you sort through all that line of fire and being over there for, like I said, you know, in country in Iraq for the time that we were there, definitely line of fire, definitely, as you sort that all through, a lot of different things that emotions you go through, family emotions. You know, when I first got over there in April of 2006, right, wrong, or different, I intentionally didn't tell my wife that I was going out on missions because I didn't want her to worry, you know, because I had to get out and understand what was going on out there because I went over early to kind of help prepare, you know, the entire battalion, which was about 800 and some odd guys, you know, bringing them into the country, make sure we knew what the heck was going on. And sorting that all through, and you get out there, and you get stopped at the one base out in the middle of nowhere, and you got a chance to call home, and she's like, where in the heck are you? And I'm like, well, oh, by the way, what are you doing? You know, you get all that stuff, you know, that starts coming out. It's like, well, you know, I didn't want you to worry, and we're fine. You know, we're doing good, and sorting through it all. So, but definitely a hostile environment at that point in time, because it was definitely getting to that point over there that we were getting a lot of stuff going on, so.
Well, and you don't get to make your own choices necessarily there either.
Nope.
It is the military. You you are part of that system where you do what you're told by those that have a little bit more jewelry on their arms.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Know, just the way it is.
Exactly.
Well, you spent 23 years. Obviously, it was a good experience for you all in all. When you look back over the entirety of it, it was a good experience. You spent 23 years there. You know, if you had it to do over again now, would you make the same decision?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely would go in. You know, maybe would have considered going to the academy right of the way instead of going to Iowa State. But again, strong Iowa State fan, so probably
right.
Still go that direction.
Right.
So I would say, yeah, still make the same decision, go with the same thing, go into the guard. Iowa Guard's a great, whether it's Air Guard or Army Guard, great organization, a lot of great people, just, you know, great, very professional organization.
I hear over and over again over the years talking to different folks with regard to military service that they always love serving with guys from Iowa specifically, but the upper Midwest in general because of the work ethic they have, and they're just good teammates. Did you experience the same?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, everywhere I've been, you know, I went in 1995, actually, I was in Germany for a short stint over there as well, and you very quickly realized how different units from different parts of the world. That was my first experience, and how much better our work ethic was, you know, being from, I was in the Denison unit at that point in time, and how much, I don't want to say better, but just our work ethic
right.
was that much better, and people realized that. And then as you went to different trainings around, you know, been all over the place, really all over different parts of the U.S. and different training environments, Louisiana, you know, definitely one place, and Fort Polk down there, they realized how much better, you know, the Midwest unit was, and how much we can adapt and how much we can work better, how much more we can work better. Get over to Iraq, and the unit we replaced there was actually from Georgia. And you know, kudos to our maintenance guys. I mean, just the ability from our National Guardsmen to who have experience in, whether it be in the automotive industry or whatever they were, they could just fix stuff on their own without reading through a book, you know, which everybody else, pretty much, I don't want to say everybody else, but a lot of other people are trained that way. This is how you fix it. And you know, you can't use baling wire or duct tape or whatever. You got to use this specific part. Well, you know, when it's got to be fixed and you got to keep moving, you want to fix that stuff. And, yeah, and that, just all our work ethic, all of our knowledge, and just our base experience is that much better. The unit that replaced us was an Army unit, full active Army. The mission that we had, which I can go into here a bit, they had to shut down 2 weeks after we left. They couldn't continue the mission because those guys couldn't take care of the vehicles and maintenance, just because they didn't have the skill set that our guys had.
Right.
So really our mission, the way I like to explain it, and you know, I do every year I do a little bit of a school presentation down there in Lewis Elementary there, Griswold School District, and to the fifth graders there, and kind of explain this to kind of help them understand this. So if you think about the country of Iraq, take Illinois, the state of Illinois, and the state of Iowa, put them together, and that's about the same geography. Take the Mississippi and cut the country just like you would in Iraq, and call that the Euphrates River. Okay, so all of Illinois would be farm ground, all of Iowa is desert. That's just like it is. So if you think about it that way, you think about coming from Iowa City, driving on a 6-lane interstate that was built through the desert in Iraq, just like I-80, taking that over to Des Moines, or over to Des Moines and then all the way to Omaha. That's what we did. We actually escorted supplies basically the entire time we were there. So we had trucks on the road all the time escorting somewhere around 200 semis. So we would have a convoy that was about 75 miles long, front to end. So if you stop and think about the logistics and the management of that, and I was an operations officer, so we managed all the operations and all the, you know, tied into all the logistics of bringing in 100 semis at a time full of food, 100 semis at a time full of diesel fuel to take care of everything, and a whole bunch of other stuff in there. So anyway, escorting all those guys back and forth, you got to have to take care of your vehicles. So
you're a pretty big target.
We're a big target. So we caught a lot of you know, enemy activity on the IED side, and you sort through all that. But the other thing to remember is the military trucks we took care of, but all these semis, these were civilian trucks. These were not military trucks. Mm-hmm. So they were from Turkey, Jordan, Syria, so they didn't speak English. So then you're trying to manage guys who don't speak English. You get interpreters, trying to work through all that. And you're going back and forth, and it's about a 3-day trip. We'd drive to about Avoca, if you think about that way. There'd be a place to stop, truck stop, just like up in Avoca, if you think about that way. We'd stop there, stay night, drive into Omaha, which was the country of Jordan, and basically switch out the trucks, empties, and bring in new ones, and come back, stay night again in Avoca, and pick up and go to the next day. Well, you know, the enemy would eventually figure out your pattern, kind of know what you're doing, and they'd know right where you're at.
Right.
They'd set, you know, IEDs along the highway, and you'd always have something going on where you'd have to, you know, get a medevac in or something like that. Or, you know, I, you know, organized all the medevacs or called in all the close air support, you know, whether it be the Cobras or the Apaches or the F-18s or whatever it may be, bringing those guys in. So as you sort through all that just to get that job done, there's a lot of moving pieces there. So did I know I was going to be doing all that when I signed up?
No.
Way back when? No, I didn't know I was going to be doing all that, responsible for all that. So it was a good learning experience, and you know, as you sort through everything there, definitely I would say helps you out and in a professional side when you come back and, you know, get back into your civilian career and or into different organizations within the community or whatever it may be. So,
well, again, it's a little bit more than negotiating I-80 during construction season.
Exactly.
Which can
exactly.
be difficult too.
Yeah, but, exactly.
beside
exactly.
the point, yeah. Well, we appreciate all the hard work and the sacrifices that not only you but your family made
yep.
too. People
yep.
sometimes forget that there are other people making sacrifices in addition to the actual servicemen in uniform too.
Right.
And those are just as important because none of that work gets done
exactly.
Without their support as well. So we do appreciate very much you stopping and visiting with us. And Bill, we salute you for your service. Thank you very much for all you've done.
You bet. Nope. Thank you, Jim.